The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. It is fight day. And I'm pumped. Caldwell versus Hyogo is tonight at the Paramount Network, live and free. UFC is going down tomorrow. Cyborg's getting in there. Who's she fighting, Jacob?
You know, I've been recognizing her by her nickname.
Which is?
I think it was like Warm Body or something.
All right.
I think it's because no one can pronounce the last name.
Yeah. Well, and it's very inappropriate for us to not know. And I will attempt to try. I'll tell you this. It's condescending to do an MMA show and then not know the name of a title challenger. But in our defenses, she's new. It was a fight that wasn't supposed to happen. That's not to take away from her skills whatsoever. I mean, it's an opportunity, if nothing else. Right? The whole shock the world thing. Look, that's on her side. It will shock the world. Is it Warm Body?
Well, I had her real name up. Kunitskaya.
Kunitskaya.
Kunitskaya. First name.
I'm going to go ahead and guess you're wrong on the nickname. Warm Body, I feel like I would remember that.
I just saw something around that, and I was like, that's Cyborg's. It says Cyborg fighting Warm Body. I was like, wait a minute. Is that really a nickname?
Oh, wait a minute. Is that what it is, or they're trying to say a warm body? Now they're the ones being condescending. Is that her damn nickname?
It didn't have quotation marks
around
it.
You know what? Let's do this. We're in a hole. Let's quit digging. Cyborg fights tomorrow. How about that? How about we leave it at that? All right, we got Cyborg.
Kunitskaya,
it's not the main event for me. It's not. Frankie and T-City.
Yep.
I'm interested in that fight. I think that T-City is outmatched in many, many ways. But that son of a bitch has intangibles, starting with he's tougher than hell. Tougher than hell. I watched Cub Swanson hit him as hard as Cub Swanson can hit. And I watched T-City take a step forward. And I watched Cub's eyes get real big going, whoa, what just happened here, Terminator? And the guy's got some nasty jiu-jitsu. I don't think he brings anything to the table that Frankie hasn't seen before. But he does have some youth. I would imagine with that youth, he's got some vigor and some motivation and some aspirations. I just don't know if they're bigger than Frankie's, but I know they're big, and I know this fight matters. It's 2 versus 3. What the hell do you want to do? Come on. Let's get it on.
It's a fight for the one. This is the second step up. So, yeah. And I was just about to say, Brian had a nice fight the last time.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all you need to take down technique is just guts to take all the technique.
Yep.
No matter what happens at you.
I agree.
Now let's back up and say, yes, Frankie's got guts too. Like there's a reason he's up there. That's what makes this fight so much fun.
There's just no holes there with Frankie. There's just not a weakness. Oh, well, go out and if you can do this or you can get him in that spot or you can get him late in the fight, there's nothing that you would normally turn to as a coach or a trainer to come up with a game plan. Just real obvious ones that come up all the time. They don't exist when you're talking about Frankie Edgar. So how are you going to beat him? There's an answer. There's ways to do it. Ortega might have those skills. I just don't know how you lose in this spot if you're Ortega. If you go out there and you can win, incredible. Let's say you don't. Boy, if you can go look good against Frank Yeager, if you can give him problems, if you can stand your ground for 3 rounds, not give up position. You know, Frank is a great wrestler too. People always forget that because he's such a masterful boxer. He's a great wrestler. Wrestled 4 years, Division I, still goes in the room at Rutgers to this day. And catches workouts. I mean, he's on point. You saw that in his last contest. I'm just saying, for Ortega, I'm a big Ortega fan, and he's a big up-and-comer. I'm not sure how that changes when we recap this next week, regardless of the outcome. I'm not sure how you don't still come away with, he's a big up-and-comer. He's got a bright future, and he could likely be the guy someday. I'm just not sure how that changes with or without his hand raised tomorrow night. I think he's in a good spot.
Well, exactly what you're saying. Even if he does lose, it doesn't hurt his stock.
Right.
He was good enough to... I'm predicting if he doesn't win, he will at least go all 3 rounds. I don't see this knockout or tap out in any way.
That's right. He needs a good performance. I am speculating. I am almost conceding that he's going to have one. How good is it good enough to beat Frank? God, does it have to be? Do you have to beat Frankie to be considered great? No. Not many guys get over on Frankie Edgar. Right? There's a reason he's a multiple-time world champion. But it will clearly let us know who should be fighting Max. Right? I mean, we at least get that as fans. We're going to get a lot of fun, and there is some meaning on this fight. We're going to clearly know who the number one guy is. So, boom, there it is.
Yep.
Did you do your DDP yoga this morning?
I haven't done it yet. No.
As soon as you said, I knew I was going to get a no.
Yeah.
Ask me.
Okay. Well, I tend to okay. Did you do your DDP yoga?
I did. And you want to know, I've actually changed something, which is why I want to talk about this with the fans. I've asked people to come on board and do this with me. If they want to do it, go to ddpyoga.com/chael. Simple as that. Save 20%. Great. No sales pitch here. I don't give a damn if you do or not. He's not a sponsor of this show, contrary to what you may think, because I keep talking about it. He's not. But I have had good success getting people to join me on this. I need motivation like anyone. But I have switched something that I'll share with you. So you can do him on the app. You can DDP Yoga app, live workout once a week. There's over 150 workouts on there. I believe in that. I come to you from a guy that does a very mundane, very monotonous, here's how many minutes you warm up, here's how many minutes you drill, here's how many minutes you go live, here's how many minutes you cool down, then you go home. That's fine. That can be a fine recipe for success. It's still, you do deal with monotony over time. So one thing I really respect and like and have felt rejuvenating about the way DDP does it, particularly through the app, there's 150 workouts. By the time I get through those, that's a new one a day for half a year. By the time I get through this, there's going to be another 70-some workouts. I mean, I could do a new one a day every day if I wanted and probably never catch where he's going, plus the live workout a week. But I have switched to the app. The only reason I offer that to you, even though it was an option the whole time, I'm an old school. Throw the DVD in. Put the DVD in. Boom. It's bigger. It's on my TV. I usually do it right when I get out of bed in the morning. Boom. I roll the mat out. It's 11 to 14 minutes where I'm at. But I have missed some of his tools. And I even had a guy tell me off on Twitter. He said, you know, Chael, you're not talking about the heart rate. The heart rate's a huge part of this. Well, I've got the heart rate monitor and all of that, but I didn't hook it all up. So now I'm doing it through the app because I travel. So instead of having to travel with a portable DVD player, which isn't a huge problem for me, but now I don't have to do that. I'm just using the app. One thing about the app that I didn't know until I was told off on Twitter was that when you use the connection with the heart rate monitor, it maps all of that. So it maps where your weight is at. Exactly. You can go back. It keeps a journal. It also maps where your heart rate. A lot of people don't even know about heart rate. A lot of people do. But one thing about heart rate shows how hard you're working. So when I'm doing the exact same workout, I'll use today for example. My heart rate was as low as 117, but it was the same workout that when I started over a month ago was at 127. That's an incredible improvement. I mean, that's something tangible. You want to talk about staying motivated. And I want to motivate the listeners. They're jumping on board and doing this with me, but I want to motivate them back. This is what the app is allowing you to do, and I'm glad that I finally got on board with it. I'm glad I'm doing the heart rate monitor. I usually do it old school. I pay attention to my heart rate, but I do it old school. I hold right up to my jugular vein. I look at my watch. I count 10 seconds. I times it by 6. And I do the math that way. Well, I don't have to do any of that anymore. Hook the heart rate monitor on. It takes way less than 2 seconds, right? Hook it on. Let it go do everything for me. So I found that encouraging. I thought that I would mention it. I thought I would mention that to the listeners. Consider doing the app. The app is what DDP wants you to use. I'm good with DVDs. I get DVDs. You put it in, you push this button, I just get it. Well, the app's just as simple. Even though I was turned off by it, it's just, boom, hit the button, it loads up. So I thought I would share that with you because you're doing DVDs, right? But you're doing that because I told you DVDs. Well, now I'm now telling you, consider the app. I'm looking over. You got your smartphone right in front of you. You could do it right on your app. And then it also takes away, and one thing about working out, and eating healthy is a part of this too. Eating healthy, particularly in America, is hard to do because what do we do for convenience? Drive-through. We don't have a lot of healthy drive-through, so you lose that issue of convenience. Well, that's a real thing. It's not just let me be tough and let me be focused and get this done. Man, people are living their lives. They don't have time. They do need convenience. So I just thought I would offer that to you, that you will have convenience right there in the app. And even though I told you, do the DVDs, it's just as good. They are. I stand by that. But perhaps I did miss. The app makes it convenient, man. Boom, there you go. Thought I'd help you out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for thanking me.
I
You're
need
welcome.
To get on that.
You're welcome for that.
You're making me feel bad at the same time, which is fine. That's fine. That's part of the motivation process for
me. Let's go back to Cyborg. I didn't mean to brush over this, but look, her opponent is new to me. And I went back and tried to bone up and watch a few of her fights and the production value. It was just a little bit different. Sometimes it's hard to know what you're looking at. Sometimes when you look at one product that is just simply produced better than the other product, you go, okay, well, the people doing this better produced product are just flat better. And that's not always a reality. You need a little bit better of a trained eye. I did think, and I don't know how to sugarcoat it, that this opponent, warm body, as you put it, how do I say it?
Kunitskaya. Yuna Kunitskaya.
I do think she's got size problems right out of the gate, and it's the same problem every other girl has had, including Holly Holm. And Holly gave Cyborg her hardest and closest fight of all time. It was 145 pounds. That's hard for Holly, right? She's just, Holly's a 135-pounder, any way you want to slice it. She's tough enough and skilled enough and experienced enough to go up and deal with it. But she still had those problems right out of the gate, and ultimately when they clinched up and over the push and pulls of a contest, it was a little bit too much. And I just think this gal's got the same ones. I mean, she could surprise me, but she's going to have to surprise me. Right out of the gate, she is not a big enough woman to deal with Cyborg from what I'm seeing.
I will give her this props, though. Considering how many people have run from Cyborg, Kunitskaya's got guts. As soon as this fight was open, they were looking around. They were probably in a bit of a panic, too. The UFC, like, okay, we need to get Cyborg to fight. But who is going to fight her? Well, let's get someone who maybe just doesn't know what they're getting into, and maybe something will happen. I've got to give her credit for that.
Yeah.
Because no one's taken down Cyborg really yet.
Oh, for sure. You know, anybody that gets in there with Cyborg, and largely to become the number one contender right now, raise your hand. Right? If you got to be good. You got to have some wins under you and all of that. But there's not a big you'll take some other divisions where guys will go, wait a minute, you're giving him the shot? Or you're giving her the shot? What about me? Look at what I've done. You get this dialogue going back and forth. Great for the sport. You don't have a lot of that in this division. And you've never had a lot of that where people are going, give me the next shot at Cyborg. You don't have a lot of that. It's more like, oh, they called you? Well, I guess you got to go do it. Yeah. Oh, good. They didn't call me? Okay, great. You know, I get to kick the can on that. You see some more of that. So I do agree with you that, you know, and courage is a big part that fans are looking for. Do they have the courage to go out there? Are they scared? Are they willing to take opportunities? Boom. Tell me her name one more time.
Kunitskaya.
All right. I got to write that down. That's so rude of me. But Kunitskaya, she at least passes that test, right? She at least gets our respect.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. She's got guts to go up against Cyborg.
Yep.
Kudos there. And if she can get a win, boom. Her name is, no one's going to mess up her name that
sure.
time.
Sure. No, most certainly not. I don't predict that that's going to happen. I think that's a hard road to go down. However, I did not think Rose was going to get over on Joanna, not the champion, either. I just didn't. So, I mean, we do see surprises. There's a reason you got to go out and do these fights. There's a reason you don't just get a weigh in and then they send you a check and we all go home. There's a reason they set that cage up and bring the referee in, because we don't actually know. And we fall for hype no matter how many times we've been shown that everybody's beatable and hype is just that. No matter how many times that gets proven to us, we do go right back into, oh, Kunitskaya's got no shot. Well, no, we don't actually know that. She passed the first test, which is courage. She's going to make the weight because she's undersized. That's good news, I suppose, in today's landscape. So give her a little bit of a doubt, but I can't see it, so I'm going to look right past it. I do have a hope, and that is that the Amanda Cyborg talk gets going again and those contracts get reissued and re-signed and we get a date. That was one disappointment I had. As soon as this got announced, I go, wait a minute. We lost Amanda Cyborg? Darn it. I want to see that.
It's coming back. Everyone knows it has to. That it was so close. The papers were signed, and then all of a sudden, it fell apart. It's gonna come back.
Okay.
I don't see. Maybe even in the next year. Maybe later on.
You think that long? Why can't we do it next? Why can't Cyborg just take this pit stop, go have this fight?
I don't see why not.
Why can't we just do it? Is there a reason Amanda didn't sign to fight? Did she? Did Amanda sign a fight and Cyborg sign? I thought only Cyborg signed. So she's got to get through this. She needs, what, 2-3 months? Which means I'll probably give her 4-5 months. And she's right back with Amanda.
In July Summertime. Or August, yeah.
Well, don't forget, you got International Fight Week, too. That'd be a great fight to do.
Yeah.
I just don't want to lose that fight. I guess I'm just sharing
not,
that with
it's
you.
It's not. It's not good. I don't think we've lost it at all. If it does, wow, that's huge. But I it's coming.
It's funny that you're reassuring me and I'm accepting it. I feel like when you say it because you're so sure, I'm buying into it.
It's two big right? names that like, we almost
like you've
had.
Got a line over there with Basari and Dana and Ari, and you know what's going on. You're saying you're convincing me you do. I'm having to remind myself you don't actually know.
I don't know, but I do know it's good for business.
And I agree with you.
And it's good for the fans, and it's good for the fights.
I fully agree with you.
It's going to happen.
I hope it does. I hope we're not wrong, though. Amanda, I don't think Amanda signed a fight. I don't think she did. I don't even think she's been offered one. I believe it's pretty obvious the writing's on the wall. Hey, Cyborg, excuse me, go do that fight, and then we'll get this Amanda thing back going. So we'll see there. And then I don't know, how long's Holloway out for? Is he already back in the gym and training?
He could be. Okay. I haven't checked.
So that could be another one where the winner of Edgar, T-City, boom, we get that announcement pretty quick here too.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia, host of Chasing Glory here on Podcast One. Every week I'm talking to the biggest athletes and entertainers about their journey to success.
Did you hear this week's episode?
Stephanie McMahon is on Chasing Glory.
Thanks for having me, Lillian. That was quite an introduction.
The highs.
Let me just say that announcing the first ever Women's Royal Rumble was one of my most memorable moments.
And the lows.
I've almost been fired numerous times. It hasn't always been pretty.
This week, I keep it real, raw, and inspiring with WWE's Stephanie McMahon. Everything you want to know and didn't know.
What do you feel like having three daughters for Triple H has meant to him?
Make sure to subscribe and download new episodes every Monday of Chasing Glory with me, Lillian Garcia. You can get it exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, or on the all-new Podcast One app.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, so you were telling me a story, actually, today. We should get into that a little bit. About it was like a wrestler who won a Texas state championship.
You're talking about Mac Beggs.
Mac Beggs.
Mac Beggs made headlines, so it's actually a second state championship in Texas. Wrestled in the female division. He's a transgendered athlete. And the article I read, so here's the thing. I could talk about anything, things that you would find, that other people would find politically incorrect. I majored in sociology. So this is, I mean, we do race all day long, religion, gender, socioeconomic, anything that would make people uncomfortable. Boom, I could talk about it intelligently, stay within the lines, know exactly where to go. I will tell you, though, the transgender has changed many times and was not as big and prevalent when I was in school. Never touched it. I guess that's the topic I'm saying. So if you want to talk about this, I'm happy to do it, but I want to do it intelligently, and that could be tough. Some of the rules have changed. I can remember about a decade ago, transgender was reserved for a actual part of the medical process with post-op. You had to be like in your first step of post-op in a three-part transition to qualify as transgender. That has now changed, and I don't know what the rule is on it. And I'll tell you where I'm going. The article that I read, so this person had won their second state championship in the women's division under transgender. But the article only referred to him as he. He won the women's championship in transgender. I'm not mad at the author. I'm just intelligent enough about it to know that's not right. Now, what word you use, I don't know, but if the person is now in the woman's category because they went to the transgender, you can't refer to them as he. I want to share that with you so that you feel confident in speaking to me and not thinking you're stepping in something. You're not. Full pass. We're both trying to get through this together, but it is a topic. And as a wrestling fan, it's a topic that I saw, right? So the crowd was very mixed. When it had happened last year, first time, the athlete was a junior, and it was brand new, and I mean, they booed him every which way you could, and it's cheating, and this is terrible, and now defended the championship, and the crowd was kind of mixed, right? That's a small focus group, but they're right there, and there was plenty of cheers for the athlete, and there does, I think, Here's one of the things on it. President Obama had started this, but President Trump grabbed it and went with it too and just said, you tell me. Okay. The days of us telling you what gender you are, the days of you being born with a certain gender are gone. You now tell me, where do you want to be? And then we'll go off of that. And what I was bringing up to you earlier about the post-op and it actually being defined with a certain process, medically speaking, I believe those days are gone. I'm not positive. I believe it is as simple as who do you identify with? I know that is how the government is looking at it. Is that how these state associations are looking at it? I think that's what they did in Texas. I don't believe this athlete had to prove some step of the process medically to qualify to go onto the mat and compete in the girls' division. I don't think that's true. And you were sharing a story. Who was the Summer Games athlete? Wasn't something similar like this just happened in the Summer Olympic Games?
It was the last two Olympics, 2016, 2012. Formerly guy, now identifies, I think went through some medical processes and became a woman. Castor Semenya, something like that. She was a sprinter. And I think she was in the 1,500 meters and 800 meters. Well, she won gold.
Okay.
In both of them. Some of the other women athletes were the same, kind of the same thing. They said, well, there was one who did finish sixth. So it's not like she finished top three or medaled in the 2016 Olympics. I think it was that one that she was talking about. But she said in post game, she just started breaking down and said, I'm racing two different races right now. She basically just said, it's not fair for me. Like I can't compete with that kind of level right there. That's, yeah. I can't get that high.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, people do get very scared of this topic, right? For all the reasons I just laid out, if you want to say it intelligently, you don't want to step on your foot. You're not trying to be judgmental or a jerk about it. You want to be very upfront, but people are scared of this conversation. And it has to be had, period. Because let's break it down, right? And a lot of people go, well, it's running, you know? She wanted to go grab a medal and said she identified as this. You know, we just don't think many people will do that. And they'll stay within their lanes and it's sportsmanship and everybody comes for it. Okay, fine. And that may work to an extent. But what if you carry that over to MMA? What if all of a sudden a man comes out and says, I'm identifying as a woman, put me in there, and goes and ground and pound some female? I mean, you see the problem, particularly when it's overseen by the government, where licenses become issues. So the government to just go, well, do whatever you identify with, that happened with the bathrooms, and it seemed to work. I haven't heard of a problem that came from it. When you start doing that with sport, and it is government agencies known as commissions that are issuing license, there does have to be a dialogue, no matter how much it makes you squirm or how worried you are about it. So bone up, get with experts so that you do say all of the right things, but then have an open dialogue, because at some point we do have to know. And maybe in the sprinting, we don't, but maybe we do. And if you want to carry it over to fighting, we do. And it happened with Fallon Fox. Does that name ring a bell?
Slightly, yes.
Fallon Fox was a male, even fathered a child, just to use an example. And with 1 year of fathering the child, was competing in mixed martial arts as a female and stood front and center in Florida in front of the commission. The Florida Commission had a big decision to make because it was going to form a precedent. It was the first time this had ever been challenged. And they were so uncomfortable with the dialogue and so uncomfortable with the narrative that they could be labeled anti-transgender that they just go, no dialogue, we're done, stamp it, and put her in there with the women. So there was, now it turned out Fallon was not a wonderfully skilled fighter. Though she did grab some wins, she wasn't setting the world on fire, and it kind of became one of these things where out of sight, out of mind, and if it could stay that way, we would prefer it so we can kick the can down the road. I halfway get that for me, for you, for our listeners. I don't agree with it when it comes to the government. If it is the government, you got to man up. You got to learn what you need to learn to have the narrative that you need to have and the dialogue and ask the tough questions in a public manner and bring in the right experts and make a decision. So I'm just saying, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't begrudge Mac Beggs for entering the female wrestling championships in Texas. I also don't have a ton of information behind it. I get why the fans out there and the fathers of the girls that he's stopping from reaching their dreams who are working just as hard would say, hey, wait a minute, this needs review. It does need review. We all need a little clarity. That's fair. That's a fair statement.
I would also ask this little question. Is it because Fallon didn't do as successfully that got kind of thrown down the road a little bit more? Like, if,
yes.
If she had been like this, like Mac Beggs, if she had been successful, or he, however you want to look at it, had been successful at that level, now we're having that conversation at the Texas level because now someone's winning. At the Olympics,
the athlete
grabbed the gold, right?
She grabbed the gold. Now that conversation has been had. Because I think the biggest question is it fair? That's the biggest question
sure.
you need to ask.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with you. I got it. I got what they're discussing here. I'm just saying at some point somebody's going to have to step in and deal with that. And when you asked about Fallon, because the level of success and the wins and losses weren't great, that can got kicked. Yeah, it did. I mean, they went all the way to Dana White with this and said, will you sign her to fight in the UFC in the women's division? And he was able to deflect and not have to have this conversation, but I just said, well, records matter. And Fallon Fox has a long way to go to have the record before I will have to answer that question. And therefore, I'm not going to answer it. I respect it, and that was the right way to do it. And he was caught off guard with it, and he handled it very well and very diplomatically. But at some point, yeah, you do have to know, because this whole, we'll just choose and identify, and you tell me, man, you think you're going to get away with that because you think that everybody's going to do just that and be very fair and upcoming and sportsmanlike. Good word to use, right? Until they're not. Until all of a sudden some guy goes, well, put me in there. I don't give a damn either way. And if you're telling me I can get points and headline a show, then I'm going to do it. And see, it's up to you guys to have the courage to come out with clarity and stop me.
Yeah, I think that's where the line has to be drawn. Because no one wants to see a guy who is just pretending for the sake of pretending just go beat up some girls to get a little belt. That's what we don't want to see.
Sure.
That's where the line has to draw, and I agree with that part. Yeah.
Yeah. Really. So at any rate.
It kind of reminds me, though, when you're talking about how Dana handled that, it kind of reminds me of that, the Colby Covington little fiasco when they said it's under review. It's the best answer you can give.
Sure. Well, it's fair. It's a fair way to kick the can. Let's think about it.
We're thinking about it, and we're talking about it. And now how long has it been since? Like 2 years now?
Yeah.
It's still changing.
Sure. Well, I'm coming out and I'm telling you there needs to be courage and there needs to be a narrative and there needs to be a dialogue. I'm telling you those things need to happen, but I'm not offering you one. I'm not. But I'm not in the position where I need to. That's also true. You know, I do feel like the IOC, the NCAA, any state commission, and you could do it the NFL and basketball, you could do any which way you want, but these commissions of authority that do decide who gets to play and what lane they go in, they need to get ready for this. They don't have to be ready today. They can go under review. I would just encourage them, start that review process. Start that. Are we going to go by what Obama said and by what Trump co-signed on, which was just simply, you tell me. You let me know where you're comfortable, and then we'll go with that. Do you want to do that? Do you want to do a hard line and go biology? There's two genders, male and female. Do you want to go a hard line the day the person's born? What do you want to do? Let's get a dialogue. Let's fight about it. Let's get it back and forth until we settle on something. So that we all know. I think I say this in a way that I want to defend Mac. I'm a wrestler, right? So I care. That athlete wanted to go out and wrestle and did and succeeded. And half the room booed him, booed the athlete. See, I'm saying him. I'm saying it because I'm nervous. I want to make sure I do it right. But half the room booed. I believe when an athlete works that hard and reaches their goals and wins, they should be cheered. I want that athlete cheered. And I believe in Mac Beggs' this case, instead of having half of the building boo, call him terrible names, and half cheer and say, hey, great courage and way to go out there and do it. I think that could be cleared up, and I don't know that it should fall to Mac Beggs. Somebody should make a rule and just tell us all what it's going to be, and therefore there's no appearance of being underhanded, because that is what a lot of the fans felt in Texas. But yeah, I'm saying Texas because that's where you put it anywhere you want. Fans aren't going to know how. People aren't going to know how to respond. Let's get a little clarity on this. Are we going to go on the, you sign up wherever you want? Is that what we're going to do? then somebody with some position of authority, whether it's the NCAA, the IOC, whoever, come out and tell us. Is it going to be post-op like it used to be, where you're going to get real medical terms and you've got to submit paperwork and doctors and show this is where you're at in the process? What's it going to be? How are we going to do it? But let's get some clarity so old Mac or the next Mac Begs doesn't get booed. Come on. Worked hard, achieved a goal. And if I'm wrong on that and this is underhanded and shouldn't be done, well, then let's get some clarity on that too. But let's know one way or the other, right?
Right.
Okay.
I will say I'm not a fan of picking and choosing. Like, just tell me. For the very sake I was saying, I don't want to see a guy enter a cage and beat up on girls and say, I'm a girl.
Sure.
I do not. I'm not a fan of that at all. I think that's underhanded for many reasons. If they were to meet halfway as far as athletics were concerned, I can see that happening. That's easy. I just don't want to see some guy trying to get easy gold or easy belts on this. That just seems wrong. That feels wrong to me.
It seems wrong, and a lot of it would make you think, oh, well, nobody's going to do that. And for the most part, you're right.
Most people wouldn't.
Yeah, for the most part, you are right. I mean, we're discussing it because of Mac Begs. That's one athlete. 50 states, that's one athlete. We then went to Fallon Fox. That's not only one athlete in one state. That's one athlete in one state one time. It's never been tested outside of that. So for the most part, that theory of, hey, everybody, sportsmanship still trumps everything and this is an issue we're not going to have to deal with, for the most part, that has held up. I'm simply voicing to you in a form of encouragement that they do get ready, that these governing bodies do get ready. Don't chicken out. Don't go sit down with PR people and figure out how we can dance around this and do it. Let's get some clarity and let's deal with this and let's let the athletes still participate and still be involved. Let's educate the fans. Let's let everybody know what exactly is the rule here. That's what I'm suggesting for you. All right, buddy, I have to split. I have to catch a plane. I am headed to Bellator tonight for Caldwell and Higo. Let me ask you this, though. Well, give me your predictions. Caldwell, Higo, who you got?
Caldwell.
Cyborg opponent, who you got?
Okay, that one I'm going to say... I spaced her name again.
Wait,
oh
you
my
think
God.
Cyborg's getting upset?
I'm saying, okay. My head says Cyborg.
All right.
I would love to see, I forget her name, winning.
Okay, so, I want a prediction. Who are you? If you
I
had
predict
to bet,
Cyborg.
Okay.
My money's on Cyborg.
Moving on. Edgar okay. T-City.
You know, let's go wild card. I'll go Ortega.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not crazy.
I'll put money on Ortega this one. Yeah.
That's not crazy.
It's not.
I will take Cyborg and Edgar, and I will stay out of the Bellator because I'm calling it. Do you have an Oscar prediction? Movie of the year.
Movie of the year. Oh, dear. You know, I think it's going to be either Get Out. Did you watch Get Out?
I did.
Did you watch any of these Oscar
yes.
movies? How
yes.
many? How many? There's nine.
I watched three.
Three. Which ones?
Get Out. Dunkirk, both greatly overrated, and I could go on and on as to why. Get Out even being in this is a stunning shock. I mean, if there's ever proof of corruption that somebody was paid off, there is no possible way that that's even in there. And I've watched the media just fall all over this. I mean, I could tell you more problems with that movie. That is ridiculous that it's in there. And I like the movie. I like the movie, but award-winning? Absolutely not. Mistakes. After mistakes, I could get all into that. And if should it win, I will bury that. But it will, without question, prove the corruption of the Oscars, which is corrupt. We all know that. But it will, without question, prove it. And then Dunkirk's another one. Now that was a cool movie. But, again, if you went off the critics that are talking about one of the greatest movies ever made and blah, 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 absolutely no. not. Listen, if there's any example by the nine that are in the top pick for film of the year. It is what a crappy year we had for movies. And that's a reality. And I enjoy movies and I watch a lot of them. But if you think that this is like 2006, which I believe is the single greatest year in the history of movies, won by The Departed, to put an example for you, for 2006, but with very stiff competition. No, this would be the opposite of 2006. This year sucked for films. But I will tell you this, because I do want to give you, I'll tell you what the best movie of the year was. And it's not that great of a movie. It's a damn good movie. I give it two thumbs up, no question. But it also should not be in the talks. But with the talks that we're having, the best movie of this bunch is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
You think that should win?
For many reasons. Well, it's the best movie made. Do I think it will win? I don't know. I think somebody's getting paid off. To have Get Out in this list and to have the people that are going on camera and massaging this movie and how great it was... They're all corrupt. I mean, if I've ever seen a bunch of guys that are paid off from somebody, that movie should not be in this list. There is no year ever where Get Out should be discussed for an Oscar. And I could tell you why. I'm trying to speed this show because I got to get to my car, get the hell out of here. It should not even be discussed in the final nine. It was a fine movie. That's where it ends. My God, that's where it ends. You could not go any more than, yeah, that was a fine movie. You could not go any deeper than that.
You know, I think, you know why I think it's in here, right?
Tell me.
Because that was the directorial debut. So it was based on potential for the future. They're giving him his cred that he made such an awesome movie from the get-go. So
great.
Now they're saying...
Lousy reason. I don't agree with the reason. I want to tell you you're wrong.
Well,
maybe
what
happened. Well,
give me one good reason why it was bad, why you don't think it should win.
Well, I'll tell you this. The movie was not very good. I mean, it simply comes down to that. Now, they're talking about this had some kind of a brilliant premise and was so incredibly well made. It wasn't any of those things, okay? Then you're talking about a very serious movie. All right, they're killing people, and then you've also got this futuristic scientific approach to it, how you can kill a guy but take parts of his brain and then keep somebody else living. You're doing these really dark things, but it's for the better good. There's messages in there, and you're not really sure who the hero is. You're pretty sure this is the villain, but it gets a little bit confusing, and it's supposed to inspire some kind of deep thought, which it does not do. It fails at that miserably. This was not a deep movie, no matter how many times they want to say it was. But while you're operating under that premise of you've got this deep movie, thought-provoking, they then went for comedic relief. I mean, the gentleman that was in the movie that was with the TSA, he was funny. He was a funny character. But to insert comic relief and a funny character into what is supposed to believe a suspense thriller thought-provoking, it's none of those things. So it fails at its own objective. But you do get a lot of people that get to go on TV in their fancy suit and play Siskel and Ebert when they're not. And instead of any of them coming out and going, hey, I don't know what this movie is, right? It's real serious and it's a suspense. It's supposed to be thought-provoking. But at the other end of it, they brought in a comedian to do comedic relief with the TSA. Right? I enjoyed that character. He was probably my favorite character, as a matter of fact. I liked the comic relief. But the fact that the movie doesn't know what it is, it doesn't know if it's a suspense thriller or if it's a comedy, it doesn't even know what it is, and I'm supposed to come away and go, picture of the year? That was a miss. It was a huge mistake.
I have one movie I could throw at you that could destroy that argument. Have you seen No Country for Old Men?
Yes.
What would you call that movie as far as a genre?
I considered it an action.
Action?
I thought that it was an action suspense.
I called it
Javier Bardem. Am I saying his name right?
Javier Bardem.
He was creepy beyond creepy. I thought he deserved awards.
So you liked that movie?
I liked it very much. I didn't like. There was parts of it I didn't like because it stayed with me. It was a very effective movie that affected me a week after I watched it, where I go back to certain scenes. You know, it was a very disturbing movie in those regards. But yes, I acknowledge that was a good movie. But I thought it stayed within its lanes. It set out to achieve what its goal was from the get-go. Get Out doesn't know what the hell it is. It's not thought-provoking, so that's a huge miss right there. That should be graded down. A movie is supposed to be whatever the director thinks it is, so he failed at that. It was a good movie. It was a good movie. I'll give you that.
You had fun. You had fun watching it.
Yes, I did, but I had more fun with the comedic relief, and a comedic relief should not be any part of a suspense thriller. I watch action movies try to do that all the time. Well, let's bring in some comedic relief. Well, what in the hell are you? Are you an action or are you a comedy? Don't combine the two. That's like having a rap country song. It doesn't work, man. You want to combine genres and think that you're forward-thinking and think you're intelligent? You just missed the mark. And I also resent the Oscars as a whole because they try to say that they're art. That has always bothered me. You want to know what art is for me? It's a painting. And if you want to go a little bit further, it's a sculpture. And nothing else is art. And I hear these people try to do this all the time. I can remember being in college and having to break down poetry as part of an art class and interpret what it is. Well, hey, teacher, are we just going to tell the truth? These are the ramblings of a drunken high man. That dude's high on something, and he wrote down these words. And you want us to look at it 100 years or 50 years later or sometime post-mortem, post-death, where we can never talk to the actual author, so we can never get a conclusive answer of what he meant in these different stanzas. We don't actually know, and that speculation has somehow created something that I can pay you money and get a degree in. This is a bunch of crap. It's open for interpretation. And the only reason you've opened up this wonderful art after... You ever wonder why artists' work goes up after they die? Do you know the real answer to that?
Supply and demand.
I'll tell you what it is, because you can never then go back to the artist who's usually high when he did it and did something mythical that people can speculate about. They don't want to know the answer, so you got to wait till the guy dies. Because if you got the real answer from Van Gogh, which was I took a bunch of absinthe, I was absolutely out of my mind and happened to have a steady hand and a few colors in front of me, that doesn't work or sell. So you got to do the same thing. I still remember classes that I resent them tremendously through interpreting these poems like they were some brilliant form of art. No, they weren't. Most of these were the ramblings of an idiot who had taken a substance and was out of his mind. And so now movies are trying to do that too and go, well, we're art. No, you're not. Art, for me, maybe I'm wrong, for me, is paintings. That's what art is. And then if you want to extend that to other forms of art, like a sculpture, something visually stimulating that I can look at. I mean, I hear there's rock and roll guys and music, musicians on all genres that are trying to say that about their songs. Well, I'm an artist. No, you're not. You're on heroin and you're beating on a guitar while screaming into a microphone some lyrics you thought of in a psychedelic state. And I'm not going to celebrate that like we do art. That's not art. That's music. Well, music's a form of art. No, it's not. Paintings and sculptures and alike. That's what art is. That's what it used to be somewhere over time. Now you've got into these other things are art and we're all artists. No, you're not. Particularly you actors that are saying we're artists because you're not communicating. You're not. You're reading lines. Somebody else wrote them. So before you come out and try to impress me about what a deep thinker you are, you're out there making faces and showing emotions, reading lines that somebody else wrote and paid you to go on camera and say. So don't include yourself in the deep thinking artists that used to come through paint. That's what art is. And I resent anybody else that says it. I see people in my own field, mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts is a term created to get a bill passed to the Nevada State Legislature in 2001. It's the sport of pancration. Most people don't even know what that is. It was taken out of the Olympic Games in 1909. But, I mean, if you want to use linguistics and use the correct word, the sport that we're doing is called pancration. But other people that think this is an art, what are you talking about? It's not. And it doesn't require some deep thought or respect or analysis like they wanted us to do with poems. You really didn't understand that is why the value of artists go up after they die. Because they want to sit around and speculate how he was feeling and what message he was trying to convey. When the reality was, he wasn't. He had some paint and some canvas. That's it. 100 years went by, and you guys tried to tie that in to some political movement or geographical location or something more sophisticated than it was.
That being said, I think Shape of Water is going to win.
All right. You know what? I've had it with you. I will give you some advice, though. I will, even though you were a jerk to me right there. You want some helpful tips? Huh? Want me to give you a few as it pertains to car? Did you know a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior? Removing excess weight from your car will improve your gas mileage. Placing a key fob. This one's true. They're all true. This one's, do you know, placing a key fob on your chin will increase its range. Weird, right? Well, ready for one more tip you might not know about cars? TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. There are a certified network of dealers and nationwide inventory of 1 million vehicles with real pricing on actual inventory for a simpler buying experience, whether it's new or just new to you. And with TrueCar, users can see what other people paid so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. There are so many factors that will make this a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Jacob, final thought?
Not today.
That's the correct answer. I am Chael for Jacob. You all enjoy the fights. Enjoy your weekend. And until next Wednesday, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Get ready for Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame photographer has hit the podcasting scene. Each Tuesday, starting February 27th, Andy and co-host Jonas Wadler will chat with some of the world's most prestigious athletes of all time. Enjoy stories from life behind the scenes with the most decorated sports photographer in the business. Make sure to subscribe to Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein, beginning Tuesday, February 27th, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the brand new Podcast One app.